Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Dusty White, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune of Cormdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. On Wednesdays, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about the need for competence.
Love it.
I like competence.
Yeah. Hopefully, we're semi-competent at doing a podcast.
Hopefully. Otherwise,
I tell you what we are competent at is not having advertisements on our podcast. This podcast is sponsored by no one. We're not going to sell you anything.
You bring that up like every month.
Well, it's because the intro,
love every podcast like sponsored by.
Yeah.
First like 12 minutes of every podcast now is
it is true. It
advertisements. Is
true. Yeah.
Maybe if we had great advertising, we would do it.
I sometimes wonder if it's your subtle way of trying to recruit advertisers.
It's not because I don't want them. I like this. It's just a local church with some guys sitting around a table talking about stuff.
This podcast is advertised by.
We can't be sold.
We can't be bought.
We can't be bought. You can't buy us.
That's right. We're not for sale.
Hey, gentlemen, we're talking about the need for competence. So my question for you right here out of the gate is, what's something that you're good at that really like would surprise people? It has nothing to do with like your job or the church or anything like that.
Dusty, I'm good at fixing stuff.
Mm.
Cars, houses, pipes, electricity. I like to fix things. Actually, nice. it's kind of a hobby for me.
Nice. I'm a good baker.
Oh.
I ask my wife. I can bake me a dessert.
Nice.
That away.
Nice. One of the things that I'm good at is backing up a trailer.
Yeah, you are. I can attest to that.
I have ridiculous confidence about backing up a trailer. It's kind of stupid how good I feel about it.
You do. I've seen you just like take the harder spot just because you want to demonstrate your competence.
Yeah, it's mostly pride.
When I'm pulling a trailer, I park in the widest spot possible just to give you the easiest possible backing up. But you do the hard work.
So, hey, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. So that's one verse in the Bible right away where we see God giving Adam something to do. He's saying, hey, get competent at working this garden, cultivating it, and doing something. And and because we're created in the image of God, we have competency. God gives us competency. So today we're going to hash that out a little bit.
So when you say God gives us competency, part of what you mean there, I assume, is God wants us to develop this, because most of us didn't start out competent at things. We had to learn stuff. We had to get good at things, right?
Right.
I didn't come out of the womb good at fixing stuff.
No.
I had to learn to do it.
But you honed it.
Yeah.
And at some point, people affirmed that you were good at it.
Yeah.
You decided you were good at it, and you were going to keep doing it.
Yeah. True.
Right?
Yep.
And other stuff you gave up, like at least I have, you know?
Yeah.
There's other stuff where I'm like, you know what? I'm bad at that.
Yeah. I once tried to learn how to draw. I'm terrible at drawing.
Yeah.
And just realized I'm never going to be good at it.
I'm not a good quarterback. I gave that up long ago. I never was good.
That's true. Like, I remember playing baseball, and in high school, first of all, I was left-handed and I was a catcher. Okay. So that's down. You're down already.
That's interesting. Tough.
But the guy who beat me out, he could throw like from his ear. So if you know anything about baseball, you got to get it to second as a catcher. He could throw from his ear. Squatted.
Yeah, that's...
And just boom.
That's an arm.
Lights out. I had to stand up and I was left-handed. So I'm done. You know, I'm sitting down right there.
Yeah.
So this need for competency, it's a good conversation, especially if you're a pastor or a leader. And also like, even if you're just like a stay-at-home mom, this is a good podcast for you, a good topic for you to get your head around, because I think the Lord designs us with this competency and for this desire. I think our desires are included here with like wanting to get good at it.
Yeah.
Like we got to hone it. We got to get better at it. We can master it, you know?
You're saying human beings have an inherent desire to be good at stuff. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And so basically
or something, be good at something.
Yeah. And so I'm always asking the question subconsciously, how do I get better at what I'm already good at? Hmm. So some of that requires like education, learnings, readings, asking people.
Maybe we're going to get to this, but how do you know what you're not good at? Like, do you need somebody to just say, hey, man, that's not your thing?
I think that's the only way, actually. You either fail and fail and fail and figure it out, or
somebody just says, hey, man, this isn't your gig.
Yeah. And I think self-awareness is the only way to get there.
Did someone tell you weren't a quarterback?
Oh, my high school coach. Okay. Well, he didn't really say that. He was kind about it, but he was just like, hey, we got another guy who's going to start. It's not you. And, you know, it's like a coach's way of telling you, this isn't going to be your long-term future.
Yeah. You should play wide receiver.
Yeah, it's exactly what he said. We got another spot that you should probably play.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think to get good at what you're good at requires self-awareness. It requires community. Obviously, in the church, you need to be asking for some feedback along the way, right? So
I'm thinking about this as a dad. Like, part of what I did with my kids was try to help them develop a skill set and try to figure out what are they kind of naturally good at and how do I just, you know, fan that flame and help them develop some things that they feel confident in.
In Ephesians chapter 4, we read this: grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. So even in the church, we have specificity of our competency.
Yeah.
And Bob, in gospel eldership, you talk about character, competency, and compatibility, specifically around, like, in the plurality of elders and in a church context, those three things you kind of hone in on. And when it comes to competency, these are, I think we would say, like, these are both God-given and they can be honed.
Yeah. Right? What I'm framing out in gospel eldership is the 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 sort of qualifications for elders, and generally their character. I mean, 90% of the list is character, but there's also competence factors like able to teach or these things entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There's this competency with scripture, this facility with the word of God no one's born with that. You get that through the Ephesians 4, like, the Holy Spirit gives some people just sort of like wisdom and capacity there, but also you got to know the scriptures, just like you get to know any topic. I joke, like, with guys that are aspiring to ministry. Hey, if you're going to a doctor, you want to know that doctor went to med school and passed his boards, you know? And if you're going to a mechanic, you want to know that this person's good with cars. And if someone's coming to you for spiritual advice or counsel, they want to know that you're good with the Bible, that you have competence and skill in the Word of God and in Christian theology.
In your guys' experience, what has been sort of the challenges around this topic? So I'm thinking of in my church, and I'm thinking specifically with men here, discipling men, that there's an insecurity around this, that that either they're insecure because they don't feel like they're competent, or there's an insecurity in, I want to be competent in this thing, but I also don't want to admit that I'm not. And so trying to just raise that self-awareness in order to help them make progress or to help them redirect their energy is sometimes a difficult conversation. So, I mean, I'm assuming you guys have had this experience with guys quite a bit too.
I think it's you're tapping into something essential. I think this really connects to, like, our apprehension of the gospel, because you're exactly right that especially for many of the men I've walked with, there's lots of insecurity here of, like, am I good at stuff? What am I good at? How would I know? What if I'm not good at it? What if I fail? Those are all the things bouncing around in our psyche and in our consciousness. And this is a place where, unless I'm really grounded in the gospel of, like, my identity is not in my performance, my identity is not in, am I good at this or not? Unless I'm grounded in the gospel, I will always be afraid to take risks. I'll be afraid to get feedback. I'll be afraid that I'm going to get exposed as a fraud or as not competent in some area. And, you know, as I've already said, nobody starts out competent in anything. We all have to learn. So you need people in your life who can speak in. And part of, I think, what the church is supposed to be is a gospeling community where we're grounding one another first in, like, our identities in Christ, not in our performance. And then a community of competence where it's like, hey, actually, Chris, here's some of your skills and capacities and gifts. You should do this more. You should step into this. You should try this. Here's where I see God using you. I think that's how a healthy community works, is both, hey, this isn't your identity, man. Jesus loves you. And also, hey, you're really good at this, or hey, you're not so good at that. You know, for me, one of the fascinating experiences for me early in my ministry was, I'm actually a decent worship leader. I play guitar. I sing. I do it decently. And it's actually sort of the leadership gift that comes out. I'm not a great musician, but I can lead well. And I got to this place where I realized, like, churches were asking me to do this. Campus ministries were asking me to come lead conferences and stuff. And I realized, like, I'm not that great a musician. really all I am is a good leader. And there are plenty of other people who can play guitar better than me and sing better than me. And so I just need to acknowledge, like, this is not my future. Like, mm-hmm. I'm good at this. I have some competence in this, but it's not the level of competence. I'm not Eric Goodell competent. I'm not Olivia Grant competent. I'm not going to have the facility in this area. And so I felt that. I felt like I could keep doing this, but there's going to come a point at which it really exposes my lack of really deep competence in this area. And so I just chose, like, I like doing it, but it's not what I should do with my life.
Yeah.
You know, because I was in that place of realizing, like, I don't have the level of competence here that it would take to really do this. Mm-hmm.
Which you were probably in your 20s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Chris, to your question, I think, going back many years ago to a different podcast, I should spend most of my 20s kind of figuring out my competency so that when I'm in my 30s or 40s, I can actually contribute with my competency. Mm-hmm. It's more honed, right? So for me, that story is I became a Christian in the 90s at this big church. And when you come to, and then I was like honing kind of the call to ministry in the late 90s. And ministry in the 90s meant like, you're going to be a preacher. And all I knew of ministry was preaching, teaching, and big crowds. And I had pastors telling me to go into ministry. And I was like, that feels weird. I don't know. Maybe. I was always like a maybe, you know? So then we did college ministry together, Bob. And then I went to California for 3.5 years. And I was like teaching and preaching and building a ministry for 3.5 years. And I was exhausted. And I was like, you know what? I'm not very good at this. Mm-hmm. But that's like what ministry was. It was like, well, you got to prove yourself this way. So anyway, I had to come to terms with my competency, which was less of that and more leaning towards what I'm doing now, which is discipleship, counseling, caring, more people-oriented stuff. I can preach and teach to that Timothy passage if I have to.
Yeah.
And for the good of the church. So anyway, I think it takes a lot of discovery. So Chris, back to your question, I think I had an ideal version of myself.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of men especially have an ideal version of what we should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I try to make myself be this competent person over here when reality is the next quarterback who's actually more competent than me. Yeah.
Why do we have to go back to that one?
Yeah. Okay, sorry. The right-handed baseball player catcher is actually better than me and he's going to beat me out and I got to come to terms with it.
Yeah, yeah. I had a similar experience. It played out a little bit different for me, kind of call into ministry and eventually with church planting. It was this acknowledgement that I am not this type of leader. Like I'm not the big in my mind, like a church planter is the big personality. It's the Driscoll. It's the Matt Chandler type. It's the super type A. It's the Bob Thune leadership.
Whoa. Wow. Thanks.
but learning that, hey, God has gifted me to lead within the gifts he's given me and the personality he's given me. And so growing in confidence in the competency again, hey, don't try to be someone you're not, Chris, but if God's called you to do this and he's given you skills to be able to lead in these ways within your own personality, to lean into that and not try to have to be someone else, but allow people to develop you. And so there was a humility in the sense of I needed some hard words of like, you know, kind of kicking my rear end to be a confident guy, but also it was helpful, the grace of guys coming along and saying, hey, dude, you don't have to be that guy to plant a church or to lead in ministry. Yeah. And that was very freeing. So both ends of that challenge that I experienced has really helped me become more comfortable in my skin. I think that's a good sign. Like if you're competent and you know who you are, there's just a comfortability. And like, I don't have to be this guy. I am who God has wired me to be. And I'm good with that.
Did you kind of already know who you were and who you weren't, or how did you come to be aware of like, oh, this is who I am and I don't have to be that and I'm not that?
Yeah. So some of it, I think I knew I was like, my strength is I'm a good communicator. I can communicate, I can teach. And it seems like when I get up in front of people, I can capture their attention, I can compel them. But it was the beyond that. I mean, as a teacher, you know, you're dispensing information and then people go home. You know, it's kind of, but actually building an organization, building a church, you know, discipling people, raising up leaders, developing, that piece had to be really drawn out of me. And to see, hey, you can do this, Chris. Some of it is you're insecure, or you know, you need to own some things and grow in character, and how you step into this and lead and exercise leadership energy, but then learned that hey, I can actually do this. because I realized I didn't have to do it a particular way. It's like, hey, let's kind of hone the skill that you have while also developing a skill you need, you're deficient in. So it's a both and. It's not just like, hey, let's take your strength and make it stronger. I think that's important. But it's also, hey, what are some ways that you're deficient, but you can legitimately grow?
Dusty, which I'm curious, this was an idea, a topic that you sort of teed up for us. What is it? Why is this topic interesting to you? Why do you feel like, man, I want people to think about competence?
The main reason why I want to talk about this is because at the end of the day, the Christian's job is to steward our competency and to do so in very redemptive ways. Because I think if I steward my competency, you guys steward your competency, and you grow into it and you flourish into it, then the church is going to flourish. Mm. So, and I also...
Do you think there's an undervaluing of competency in the church?
Yeah, I think there is. And I wanted to get into that because I think what we do, right, especially in a gospel saturated place, is we'll talk about like, hey, your identity isn't in what you do.
Yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
It's not about performance. It's about Jesus only, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, also, you're good at some things and we need those. Mm-hmm. So that's important. And I think we just need to name it and mm-hmm. say, we flourish more when you become better at what you're already good at.
Yeah. And hey, there's some things you need to get good at. And it's not a matter of, well, I'm just not competent. It's like, hey, no, you actually need to learn how to be a better husband or father or serving in the church in particular ways that just that you should care about competency.
Yeah. And I think we have to be, to get good at competency, we have to embrace the progress and the journey of it rather than, well, I'm not as good a preacher as you, Bob. So like, I probably shouldn't preach, you know?
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, I should probably hone my voice for when my voice is needed in the church, right? So that's a different use of competency.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I think it also, it involves embracing limitations and maybe even the word deficiencies, right? In the sense that like what you said in Ephesians 4, like God's given different gifts and different kinds of gifts to different people. And I got to know, like, where do I have some unique gifts that might serve the church well? And where do I just either have deficiencies and I need to really do work there to grow, or just acknowledge like, man, maybe that's not my sweet spot. I mean, I'm thinking about, again, my kids as they were growing up and realizing like, hey, you're good at this thing, but you're not as good as your buddy at that thing. And so don't try to compete with him and be as good as he is. He has a unique ability in that area. That doesn't mean you don't have an ability in that area, but your ability is different. And I think we need outside help to see like, what is my level of skill or what's my ceiling in this area is another way to think about it. You know, you think about coaches all the time and they're assessing two things. What does this athlete have right now?
Yeah.
And then what's his ceiling? What's his capacity? I mean, when we've coached kids in baseball, Dusty, it's like, you just look at some kids and you're like, that kid's going to always kind of be that guy, you know? Yeah. And then there's other kids. You're like, this kid has a lot of potential, but no one's really developed it. And so let's help to sort of like give him some confidence and help him grow into something.
And I think our competency is honed by feedback, you know, like good critical feedback. And also I think it fits, you know, like the burden is light. The yoke is easy in our competency. Hmm. And so for example, I don't teach and preach a lot in ministry, but man, I will say yes to parenting stuff, marriage stuff. Chris, you recently asked me to come do a men's breakfast thing about dad stuff. I wanted to say yes so bad, but there's already something on the calendar. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff, I'll just say yes to. But like, that's kind of it. Mm-hmm. Like parenting, marriage, some specificity around some men's things. And that's
because you feel some particular confidence in those areas.
I feel pretty competent in those three areas. Notice that that's three areas. It's not like 17, you know, it's not like cultural apologetics. Yeah. Well, I'm just not that good at it. And I probably shouldn't be doing it. You know, somebody like Bob Thune should be doing that. So I think that's okay. You know, like to start honing those things. And because we also make assumptions at what we're good at and we need to quit doing that. You know, we need to hone what we're actually good at.
What do you mean by we make assumptions of what we're good at?
I think we make assumptions in the sense of like I want to be good at some of your things.
You know, I aspire to be good at that.
Those are good things. And so like, I would maybe overextend myself and not hone what actually my contribution should be.
Or you've never completely failed or flubbed it and no one's come up and said, you shouldn't do that anymore yet. And so you're still kind of operating on this sense that maybe I am kind of good, or I'm telling myself that, and you need someone to say, hey, maybe you should consider something else.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
One of the things I'm growing in right now in my competency is now I'm not just like leading myself and one other staff person. I'm leading a team of staff people. And one of the things I've learned about myself, especially over the last few months, is a lot of things are so intuitive to me. And I just like get in the room and do this thing, you know? Well, nobody knows that, you know?
Yeah, doing it is different than teaching somebody else.
So like now I have to like be explicit about intuitive things.
Yeah.
So I have to grow that competency because it is mine to steward. I have to do that and I have to get better at it, you know?
Dusty, do you think there's something about living in America that always makes us think about the next thing we could be doing instead of honing things that we're probably really good at? I'm just wondering if like the infinite choice thing kind of kills us, you know? Like I think all the time about my great-grandfather who immigrated here from Norway, and just like, I don't know, he farmed because that's what he had to do.
Right.
You know, it's like he didn't have seven options of what he could do.
Yeah.
I think he ended up being a really good farmer and homesteader and rancher, but that's just kind of because like that was what he needed to do.
Yeah.
I was just meeting with a guy today and asking like, hey, what do you want to do with your life? And he's like, you know, I'm not exactly sure. I got this interest and this interest and this interest, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of like we have so many options that sometimes it maybe keeps us from becoming competent.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think our culture does that. We're easily distracted too, mm-hmm. right? Like we're so much more distracted than your grandfather ever was even allowed to be, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, the discipline that it takes to stick with something, to develop competency, just doesn't seem like it fits the distracted nature of our culture. And even the message of our culture that, hey, if you're not good at things, you should immediately move on. Or that there's, just that discipline and cultivation that is required. Because I think that's the other piece too, is what you're good at might not necessarily emerge right away. Mm. You might need to take some time. And if you kind of push through walls, you think, you know, to use the sports analogies, those types of guys that have emerged as like superstars and no one saw it, like no one saw it coming. But over time. So I think there is that patience piece that our culture lacks as well to develop.
Yeah. You're supposed to be good at stuff right away without having to try.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a natural ability.
Yeah. That's why everybody's asking every 18-year-old who's graduating high school, like what they want to do with their life.
Yeah. Like they know.
Yeah. I hope they don't know.
How do you?
Very rare would that person know, unless they're LeBron. Maybe they would know.
I'm trying to think back to when I was sort of, you know, in college or maybe even high school, and trying to think about how did I discover what I was competent in? Because I tell this funny story about when I went to college, I decided to major in engineering physics, which is like a combo degree of engineering and physics, which are two of the hardest majors. So it was like one of the most difficult majors on campus. And when people ask me like, why did you major in that? My answer was, because that's what my guidance counselor in high school said I should do. Like, just what they told me I was good at. I took some tests and they're like, you're good in science and math. You should think about engineering. It had zero to do with like, am I actually good at that? I mean, obviously I'd shown some capacity in that in testing, but I was like, I didn't even know what an engineer was. I don't even know what that person does. That's what the guidance counselor said to do. So that's what I signed up for. And it took me a while to figure out like, oh, I don't even want to do that. Like that's not interesting to me.
I'm trying to imagine you as an engineer.
Yeah.
That just, doesn't fit. Yeah.
It doesn't really, but I didn't know what my options were. No one had really walked with me to help me figure out like, what are you really good at? Other than just, here's what you test well in, you know, you get good grades in science and math.
And maybe they discovered that you had a high pain tolerance.
Probably so.
This guy likes hard things.
Probably so.
Yeah. Oh, you can see a play out in your strategic thinking. You can have an engineering mind there for that.
The design mind.
This is a little diagnostic, but I think the way we figure out what we're good at is, I think it actually feels good. Hmm. You know, like I hate to say it that way, but I actually think it fits. You know, the biblical language would be like, the yoke is easy, it fits. I think, oh man, I really enjoyed that. People benefited. And I would like to do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very basic. Like, I don't think you become competent at something where it's only in service to yourself. Because that would be completely selfish. I think it helps people flourish.
Yeah. I think this was a conversation I had with Mindy one time that one of us read an article. I don't remember exactly how we were talking about why we were talking about this, but there were these categories of things that you're good at that you don't necessarily like to do, things that you're not good at, but you like to still attempt them. And then the intersection of things that I both enjoy and am good at. And so kind of like categorizing those different things to kind of see, I think it might've been around maybe calling or purpose or something, and just kind of how to assess some of those things. And I thought that was an interesting category of being good at something you don't enjoy doing. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's, I guess there are some things that's the case too, is maybe you have some competency in things and the Lord would have you do some things and you don't necessarily love it, but for whatever reason, you're good at it and he's blessing it. And so have fun with that.
I wonder, so it seems to me like there's two errors here. Or to go back to your question about people in your church you're trying to help. One error is like, I'm insecure and I'm not sure what I'm good at, and so I'm a little hesitant to try stuff, or I'm not sure I want feedback. And then the other error is, I think I'm good at this, but I'm the only person I asked. And so I'm going to do it, you know, because obviously it's interesting to me. And it seems like both of those are dangers, but they're almost different kinds of dangers. One's more fear and one's more pride or self-trust. What do you think is the answer to sort of like, how do we walk in a way that says, I want to grow in competence, but I also want to hear from people. What am I good at, and how do I receive feedback and listen to counsel and try to explore and hone in on something?
I'll answer your question by going back to when I was 26 years old and leaving California and coming back to Omaha without a job. And JC and I went to 4 days of counseling, and it was this marriage ministerial intensive, basically. And by the end of that, he said, if you're going to be in ministry, this is the kind of church you should be in. These are the kind of people that you need around you. And he just kind of like told me what I needed to thrive. Now, I had a decision to make in that moment. Like, was this guy right or wrong? And does he really know me after 4 days or not? You know, like, so you're making all these decisions. So anyway, I think the answer to your question requires humility. Like, I need to let others speak in, because it might not even be what I'm doing. It might be where I'm doing it. So anyway, I think I have to, I'm never going to thrive alone, you know, like that's just like anti-biblical.
Yeah.
So I have to hone my competency with good feedback.
Yeah.
There's been people in our church, your church probably too, Chris, where like they will take a job and I'll know enough about the job they're either going to go do vocationally or the place that they're going to go do it. And I'll just go like inside, I'm going like, dang, that's a bad idea. Mm. You know, and some people you could tell that to, and other people just need to go learn that. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, depending on their age and depending on how it's going to affect how many relationships. But so I think there's a certain level of stubbornness that just needs to get worked out with experience. Mm. And then there's a certain amount of humility that we need to receive.
Mm. I'd say also going back to what you said earlier about, you know, being grounded in the gospel such that I can receive the feedback and it not crush me, because my whole identity isn't wrapped up in, I have to be good at this thing, or I have to be at this level of good. So to be able to have the freedom that the gospel brings and the courage that it gives you to hear the kind of feedback, and being willing to do the hard work of, hey, if I do want to be competent in this, and there's a sense of like, I'm drawn to this, I love this, and I need to do some work, that I have the humility and patience to be able to do that. Or say, hey, this actually isn't who I am and who God has wired me to be. And no matter how much I work at this, maybe it's just never going to rise to the level of, this is what I should give my time to. So both of those things, the freedom and the courage to acknowledge and receive those things because you're grounded in the gospel and your identity is in Christ. But that doesn't make you passive, like you pointed out before, where it's like, oh no, this matters. No, it actually empowers you to care and pursue what the Lord would have for you.
Well, Dusty, moving this toward landing the plane for the listener, you know, someone who's listening to this podcast and trying to ask the question, hey, what could I do from here to sort of either grow in competence or explore, man, what am I really good at? What are the best things I offer to the kingdom of God or to the world around me? What would you give me as some homework?
Number one, I want to be asking myself, hey, the things I'm giving myself to like hone competency, how are those affecting my relationships? 2 weeks ago, I was with a 67-year-old man, and he has 3 children. And he said to me, man, I really got to hand it to you. You were like, you're really investing into your kids and you're coaching baseball and you're doing all these things. I wish I would have done more of that. because when my work got hard, I just doubled down on my work and really tried to hone it and figure it out. Mm. He didn't say hone, but he was basically saying like, when work got hard, I just tried harder. Mm. And what he was realizing in that moment was I probably should have been like doing something different vocationally, but he just was, I guess, like stubborn enough to just stay at it. But he was saying it kind of cost me some relational equity that I'm now paying for. So I think we always have to be asking, what am I giving myself to and how is it affecting my relationships? Because it should be flourishing.
Okay.
It should impact my relationship with God in a worshipful way. And it should
bless people around.
Yeah, it needs to be blessing people. And then externally, I think to figure out, this is a little bit harder. I think to figure out what you're good at, you just got to ask people and then you got to listen. So I think I need to go to Chris and go, hey man, hey, I did that parenting conference for you. How do you think it went? Mm-hmm. And then I just need to listen and decide, did it bless him or not? Which is also deciding if I ever do it again in my life. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's some of the stuff we do.
Yeah. And probably asking people that we might fear what they might say.
Yeah.
Because there's like a little echo chamber we can get in where like all the people around us think we're great.
Oh yeah.
And that's probably not helpful. You know, it's like asking people who might be critical or who might be more, you know, they're more a glass half empty kind of person. Sometimes that's really helpful. The best preaching feedback I get is from the, like, I know like there's some percentage of people out there that are going to be like, great sermon, pastor. But there's a few people that are going to give me like specific feedback that sometimes I just have to discount it and be like, well, you're a naysayer. But a lot of times it helps me grow in certain ways of how do I connect with a person like that? How do I communicate? I remember a guy that I really respect who like ran an assembly line. And he just came when I was a young pastor and was like, hey, look, your illustrations are real philosophical and they're like abstract. And he's like, they don't connect with me. Like I'm a tangible, practical, hands-on guy. I need you to give me practical, tangible, hands-on stuff. And there was part of me that wanted to be like, well, dude, you're not rising to the level of my preaching, but actually it was like, nope, that's the Lord telling me that like, I need to be clearer and more concrete so that guy can take the word of God to work in his life. Yep. Because what he's telling me is I'm missing him.
Yep. Yeah. Have the courage to ask people, you know, you're like, I know I don't want to hear what they're going to say, but I need to hear it. Mm. And that does take some courage and some gospel humility to do that. But that is what is actually going to make you competent because you'll stall out. You'll hit your ceiling. You'll sort of kind of like hit this spot and stay there unless you get the kind of deeper level hard feedback that maybe you're not naturally going to want to hear.
I think the other thing we need that you kind of hinted at this, Dusty, is like you need safe relationships of people that are rooting for you.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, I might give you hard feedback of, hey, you're not as good at this as you think, but at the end of the day, I'm rooting for you. I want you to succeed. I want you to be competent. And sometimes there's people around us who don't want that. They're rooting against us. Those people aren't good places of feedback.
Yeah, right.
You might still be able to learn from their criticisms, but the people that are most helpful are people who will be honest with you and also they're rooting for you. And so you know, like, their honesty is out of love. It's not out of, I want to knock you down a notch or I want to put you in your place, but it's out of, I want you to succeed and thrive. Here's a place where I think you might need growth or development.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, thank you for listening in. And we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.